Hello and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good all the time. And we also know and pray that you too do that God has called us to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. Well, today I have a new sermon to bring to you, and it's actually a very long title. How many of you looked at the title of the sermon? Normally they're short and catchy, right? Yeah, no, not this one. The title here today is Every Life is Building Something. The question is, building what? And I came to this through the studies that I've been doing since the beginning of before the beginning of the year, prepping for this year, coming into Easter here, and now what we call Eastertide into Pentecost. And I began thinking about this process, and different things were coming into my mind, because each and every one of us is building something. And it amazes me because, you know, we think of building things into our lives. I've heard many people say it. You know, folks have told me, you know, I'm building a legacy. I'm building a heritage. I'm building a nest egg for my retirement and for my children after me. Well, those are worldly things. Those are things of this world. But the one thing I want to remind all of us about is the fact that in Christ, because this sermon today is for those who are Christians or those who are looking to become Christians, those who are wondering what this is all about, because many people out there in the world look at us and say, what's your angle? Okay? And your angle is going to have to do with what you are building. And I really want you to understand that, because everybody comes at us with an agenda because they are building towards something. Well, how should a Christian, how should a person who is looking to Christ be living? What should be that thing that we are building? What should be that which we are trying to accomplish? And I can tell you right now, what we are trying to accomplish is the same goal that Jesus Christ tried to accomplish here and did very well. He did better than any of us will ever do. Can I get an amen? But we are to be following His example. And that example, as Christians, is that we are supposed to be building something that is kingdom-oriented, not worldly-oriented, not self-oriented. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't be building a nest egg for yourself and for your family? Because here in the United States, we retire, all right? You know, it's one of the only countries where we get to do that. Most countries, you work until you die. But in the United States, you know, we are a country blessed. How many will say amen to that? We are blessed, getting less so all the time, but we are still blessed. And as we are blessed, we know that we can work a hard life and you know, take advantage of the blessings of the Lord, because that's what they're here for, that we would have life and have it what? Abundantly, as I spoke earlier today. But as Christians, there's something that our entire life never stops, we never retire from, and that is, as a Christian, we are to be kingdom builders. And what does that look like? What does the Scripture have to say for us about such a thing? And that's where I want to get into today, because God has something that He wants to share with us, because I want you to understand, if we are to be kingdom people, if we are to be otherworldly, then what should we be building? What should be our ultimate goal? These other things can fit in there, but there is a foundation that has to be laid. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 2 and 5, if you would, please. 1 Peter 2 and 5. First Peter 2 and 5. As we prepare to read this word, come with me into a moment of prayer. Father God, as we prepare to open your word on this first Sunday after Easter, we ask, Lord, that you would truly allow us to walk into this resurrection, this newness of life, that we would see things differently, that we would understand things from a kingdom perspective, because that's exactly what the resurrection allowed us to do. Through the resurrection, from the power of the Holy Spirit now residing in us, all that began because of Easter, and may we begin to live those new lives. May I, this pastor, speak words of truth, none that are my own, but may all the words that you would have of me come out of my mouth as only you would allow. Shut my tongue, O Lord, and loose yours through the Holy Spirit in me, in Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 5. It says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, the first thing I need us to understand here, and I want us to understand, is this verse is considered a precept of God. This is a precept of God. What is a precept? What is a precept? Well, I looked it up because I wanted to have a good definition for you. And this is the definition through Webster's from the dictionary. A rule or principle prescribing a particular course of action or conduct. A direction or order issued by an authority, a writ, command, or process. And number three, a commandment or direction given as a rule of action, teaching, instruction, especially an injunction as to moral conduct, a rule of conduct, a maxim. All right? So as we look at this precept, as we look at this directive that the Lord has given to us, as we look at this authority that God has over our lives, and He's telling us how we ought live. This is what we ought be. This is what we ought be becoming. Because this is God's moral injunction to us that we are to be built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. How many of you look at yourselves in the mirror every day? Because whether you believe it or not, almost all of us look in the mirror at least once a day. How many of you get up in the morning and you shower or you brush your teeth or whatever? Because you're generally standing in front of a mirror. Am I right? And we look at ourselves. Many of us look at ourselves and say, "Man, that dude's getting old." Because the guy in the mirror ain't the guy we feel like. But that's who you is. But how are we truly spiritually? That is the physical house that we're in. And I don't know about you, but that spiritual house, to me, looks and feels a whole lot different than the physical house, okay? When I look at my physical house, the one on 1650 Parkway Drive, right, you know, when I look at that house and I think to myself, "Wow, I need to paint the garage door this year." You know, "Oh my goodness, you know, I need to spray that mold off the side of the house that the sun never hits. You know, there's some work to do on my house." Well, guess what? There's some spiritual work to do on my house. You know, it's amazing. We'll do the physical work, you know. We'll diet and we'll exercise. We'll think about it. But we're willing to do those things. We'll go to the doctor to keep this physical body going straight and going right. But what about this spiritual building? We are to be a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. So what if we are a holy priest? What should our house look like? How should it be adorned? What should be in that house? These are the kinds of things that I'm talking about. I want us to understand that as holy people, as a holy priesthood, we are supposed to be living in a place. This is God's word, says it right here. We are to be living in a place as to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. How many of us in our houses, that's our secret place? How many of us in our spiritual houses actually defame that house? That's where we let all the barriers down, where the real us actually comes out. Can I get an amen? In all its ugliness, because that's where God sees us. You know, we want God to see us out on the street when we're doing everything. We want Him to see us in church, right? We want Him to see us. God sees you at home. God sees you where you are the most comfortable, where you're the most relaxed, because that's the real you. That's the you that is you. And it's so amazing because we are to be living in such a way, our house is supposed to be ordered in such a way that we are able to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That means it needs to be holy and pure because only those sacrifices are acceptable to God. That means they come from the heart. That means they come from the Spirit of God within us. Because we need to remember, and this is something that I'm going to teach you here, that as we are offering these things up, that means the Spirit of God is doing the offering through us because there's only one sacrifice for sin. But we are to, because we can't make that sacrifice, Jesus did, but we are to offer up sacrifices of praise, sacrifices of glory, sacrifices of, okay, not sin sacrifices. We can't do that. But our lives are to be lived in a very sacrificial way, giving unto others, giving the hope, giving the compassion, giving the mercy that each of us has received. And as we do those things, God is glorified in our lives. And we truly are then building that place where God resides. Because this is what I want us to understand, is this is exactly what is taking place. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Now, I want you to understand this. This is God's word to us. This is God speaking to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, and he's telling each of us, this is what God thinks of you. This is where God has you in his mind, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. You know, I want you all to think about what that means in your own life. You've got to work that out. I can't work that out for you. Each of you has to work that out. But many of us don't even think about the fact that we are a holy temple. Each and every one of us is. Why? Because the Holy Spirit resides in us. And the Holy Spirit only resides in that which has been sanctified and justified and redeemed. And the biggest of all, consecrated. Set aside. Isn't that what consecrated means? Set aside. And that is exactly what God has done to you through His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. He has loved you so much. He has looked in upon you. The Scripture tells us in Romans that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Each and every one of us understands that because we know we were there. We have been set aside. We have been purged. We have been cleansed with the blood of the Lamb, that same blood that was sprinkled on the altar of heaven has cleansed us and made us whole and holy. For anything the blood touches becomes holy unto God. And that is exactly who you are. And that's how God wants your life to be. He wants you to reflect that spiritually into the world. Now, does that mean that this temple is never going to decay? Remember, the original temple fell apart. And when I say original, I'm talking about the one here on earth. And then they rebuilt a second one, and it fell down. We are the third temple. Now, we are told in the Scriptures that they will build another physical temple in Jerusalem. All right? But we are actually the third temple. And I'm here to tell you today, Satan is trying to tear down this temple, just as it is told to us in the Scriptures. Because if he can tear us down, if he can knock these bricks off, if he can knock the stones off, he thinks he's won. I'm here to tell you right now, he may knock a stone or two out, but there's a foundation that's already been laid that you and I need to remember. He cannot shake. He cannot move. He cannot touch. And the only things in our lives that he is going to be able to dislodge are the things that he helped put there, because they're sins. They are things that we desire beyond God's desires for us. They are the things of life that God has said to us, do you really want that? And we said, oh, yes. And we've enamored to it, and it's become an idol. And he wants them removed. So he's going to allow those things to be pulled out of your life, because he wants you to be a holy building for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord. And that means it has to be a place that is clean. So he's going to be doing a work on each and every one of us. And what does that work look like? Because I'm here to tell you right now, God himself is going to be the one inspecting the building. Look up just a few verses, beginning in verse 10 through 15 of 1 Corinthians. You all know this. I'm talking about the smoking section of heaven here when we're done. It says from verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? Brothers and sisters, you all know this is where I talk about the smoking section of heaven, all right? Not that they're going to be smoking cigarettes, not that they're going to be smoking a pipe, not that they're going to be smoking in any type of unholy fashion, but through the purging of the fire of God, we will smell a smoke all through eternity, because all the hay, all the wood, all the stubble has been burned off. Because the only thing God will have in his kingdom are those holy, pure, and faithful things, the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. And that's what you are in his sight. You are those precious stones. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. You also need to understand he has loved you so much that he has to purge you, because no sin can come before him. And we're going to go through some stuff in this life, because God's trying to build us into that temple, into that holy building. And I'm going to tell you right now, embrace those things. Embrace them, because God is bringing change into your life. Don't look at it as a problem. If you're going through a difficult time, don't look at it as a problem. Look at it as the opportunity to overcome. We are not to ask, why am I going through this? But we are to ask, what am I supposed to learn? Because in that, we will be building up unto a holy temple. Because we're the ones who have to be changed. Our mind has to be transformed through the renewing of our minds. Isn't that what it says in the book of Romans? That we are to offer our bodies, we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's the book of Romans. By the renewing of our mind. Because our mind has to be renewed as much as our heart. Where does God reside? He resides in our heart. But guess what? If he ain't connected to the brain, you ain't got it. He's got to have them both. And he may have to make a pathway to get there. How many cobwebs is he going to have to get out of the way? How many bricks of stubbornness is he going to have to get out of the way? How many logs of unrighteousness is he going to have to burn up? Etc., etc., etc. And that goes for the preacher as well as it does the preached. We are all a work in God's hands. And I'll tell you, it's not fun when he takes that lump of clay and pushes it back down. You thought you were all but done. Woo, this work's finally over. I'm starting to see some relief. He's going to take me off and set me to the side. Nope, push it back down. Here we go again. That's what life is. Are you looking for the expectation of that? Are you looking for the anticipation of that? We have become such an instant gratifying society that we forget that delayed gratification brings the longest gratification. It brings the most succinct gratification. It brings the most complete gratification. Why? Because we've waited on this thing and we have literally grown with it. Okay, y'all remember the commercials on TV with the ketchup bottle and taking forever to come out? How many of us enjoy those French fries just a little bit more when that ketchup finally gets there? No, we're impetuous, so we hit the back of the bottle, bloop, and it's everywhere. What a mess. We can't force it. We can't force it. We have to work with him. And in that, he will change us from glory to ever-increasing glory. God loves you so much. He's going to put you through some stuff. Well, I don't want to say it that way because then that sounds like God's a sinner, right? No, God's going to allow some stuff to come your way because of who you are and who he wants you to be. And he knows he's got to purge you. Isn't that what it says here? And the day will define it with fire, and it will be revealed with fire. Excuse me. For the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. We need to understand God is a holy consuming fire. We may not feel fire as you know, we have these candles up here, and yeah, you know, if I touched it, it would burn me. But the reality is God is consuming the dross of our lives as we work it out with him. He is tempering this body, okay, as it were, to make it much more precious, to make it all that it can tend to be. And that it is you, okay? There are no its in the kingdom. There are God's children, and that is you. And that is you out there on the internet. Each and every one of us needs to understand God is looking at you and he is saying you have an intrinsic value that he died for. He gave it all that you may know life. Are we willing to give up the stuff that this life offers that have no benefit for us to gain everything that not only benefits us but will benefit all those around us? How many of us pray for loved ones in our family, right? Man, I pray all the time. Lord, you know, take this away from so-and-so. And Lord, take this away from so-and-so. And, you know, later today we're going to be praying because we have our time of prayer here coming up. But one of the questions I want to ask you, and we literally, a lot of this sermon we spoke today at our discipleship time, how many of us are trying to pray these things away when we literally need to be praying for strength to get through it? Because taking it away isn't going to solve your problem. But giving you the strength to get through it is going to change who you are. And oftentimes, that's what I need us to remember, is these problems, these things that we're going through are opportunities to know God, to become that holy people that we can literally lift up holy sacrifices unto the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, you mean that much to God. He's not going to give up on you. You may pray to him, take this away from me. You know, I think one of the apostles did that. And he was told something very succinct. My grace is sufficient. God refused him. He said, you need that thing in you to remind you that I'm here. Otherwise, you will forget that you need me. Now, that doesn't give you the excuse to keep sinning. But what it does is remind us all that we are still broken vessels. We're broken pots. Okay? But God can fix a broken pot. And I think this is really kind of cool. God can repurpose a broken pot. I was watching a video while I was doing this, and I was, you know, thinking, you know, oh, hey, that'd be cool. That's an awesome illustration. This lady drops a cup on the floor, and it breaks. Pottery cup, right? Handle busts, and the side of the cup breaks out. And she turns this coffee cup into a planter. And if it weren't that it was broken, it wouldn't work. But because it was broken, she was able to take the pieces, rearrange them, and make this beautiful little planter that she then put a bow on and literally gave to someone who was sick. And it said on it, "Though you may feel broken, God brings life out of broken vessels." And I was like, wow, what a sermon illustration. But it was 5 minutes long, and I thought, yeah, that's too long. But I could speak it. And you can all visualize it, can't you? Sometimes God needs to break the pot because it's in that brokenness that he can use us the most. And it's from that brokenness that we see that we're truly healed, that we're truly whole and holy, because it's in that brokenness that keeps me at the altar of his grace. Wow, that's deep. I don't want to go there, right? But that's life. I think about David. David wanted to build the temple. David wanted to honor God. He wanted to do these great things. We look back and we say, but wait a minute, David, you did do great things. David didn't see that. What David saw was what he fell short on. I'm here to tell you right now, when you look back on your life from the other side, it's only then that you will see the greatness that God has brought forth from you, because it is only then that we'll see with the perspective of God. And it's then that you will realize, oh my God. And he's going to say, yes. You allowed me to do wonderful things through you, even though you didn't see them when they were happening. You see them now. You see, folks, even as a holy temple, there's a delayed gratification that comes. We may see some of those successes right now, but we need to understand that you and I can't do this alone. Everybody wants to be their own man. Isn't that what they teach us in our society today? That we are all going to pull it up by our bootstraps and we're going to get this thing done and it's all about you and we are an army of one. And you know, we all know the plethora of stuff. What does God have to say about that? And you see, this is the one thing I need you to understand, because what I just spoke is truly a lie right out of the pit of hell. No man was meant to be alone except one. And he was only alone one time. And that was on the cross when he spoke to the Father and said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? And he gave up the ghost. It was the only time he was alone. And the sky turned black for hours in the middle of the day. When we try to do it alone, the sky is going to seem black. We may get glimpses of sunshine every now and then. We need to remember God says that we are not alone. Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to our last scripture today, Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. Because I need you to understand that as a holy temple, we are not so by ourselves, but together as the fullness of God through the church. I need you to understand something. A holy temple, though we are one, takes many bricks, takes many stones to build the true holy temple of God. Because God is in each and every one of us, sanctifying each and every stone. For you are a living stone. Isn't that what we read? You are simply a stone, a part of something even greater. And from Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22, we read these words. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Each and every one of us needs to understand, we may have a little bit of God, but you don't have all that you need. I need you. You need me. We need each other. That is why the ecclesia is so important. Yes, God resides in you. I'm going to tell you all a secret. This just happened. Had a gentleman call me last evening that I have known for, I'm going to say 15 years, an acquaintance, okay? Good guy, calls me, and he says, Rich, I have a question to ask you. He said, and it's kind of a strange question, and I don't know how to ask it, so I'm just going to say it. And I'm like, okay. He says, if anything would happen to me, would you preach my service? And I said, well, it would be an honor to do your service. He said, well, I know that sounds strange. He said, but you're the only preacher I know. He said, and I know you know what I believe. I said, yeah, I do know what you believe. I said, just got one question for you. So how comes you don't go to church? He said, well, I used to, but the church burnt me a long time ago. So now I just do my own thing. I'm going to do his funeral one day, and I'll be glad to do so. I know he's going to heaven. I know he prays. I know he's going to heaven. He raised his children in the Lord. But the church hurt him somewhere along the line. And he became one of those blocks. You know, when you go past a construction site, you see those broken blocks that are kind of piled up outside the building. You ever wonder what happens to them? Sometimes God uses them as decoration in the yard of the church as a reminder, because they're still his block. He isn't getting rid of it. My point is this. How many of us in the church are perfect? None. How many of us are a broken block? All God's waiting for is for us to acknowledge that fact so that he can fit us into that building where we're supposed to be. You see, my God doesn't throw anything away. He needs the brokenness of me Because something in you that is right will fit into that brokenness and make me whole. What I just got from this gentleman was not an invitation to do his funeral. What I just got was an invitation to get involved in his life. He just reached out to what he considers the only man of God he knows. Then I better darn well be that man of God to him. And that's where each and every one of you need to understand. That's why you're here. Because God needs you in this temple. But there are other blocks that we need to bring into this temple. And today we're going to get that opportunity as we go out here and do a prayer walk in our community. I don't know if I'm going to see you on that prayer walk. I pray I'm going to see you on that prayer walk. You know, I'm going to say this, and yeah, I'm going to say this out there right on the internet. I hate the Sunday after Easter. I positively loathe it. Why? Because it's one of the lowest number Sundays in the church. Everybody comes out for Easter, and then everybody says, oh, I need a break. And they're gone the next week. Every pastor deals with that. We talk about it. We laugh about it. We have our high and holy days, and then we have our low and lonely days. This is the lowest and the loneliest. But the question is, are we going to be the temple of God? And are we going to realize that all those blocks that are missing right now need to be plugged back in? The church is purposeful. Christ holds it together. He is that holds it together. But if we're not reaching out to one another, we're not connecting, and it cannot stay together. We've got work to do. Amen? Let us get to the work, building the temple of God. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you, and we see where we are, and we know that each and every one of us is a broken rock, is a broken block. But yet, Lord, in your hands, you are about to build something so beautiful, so great, so everlasting, because, Lord God, you make no trash. Each one of us fits into your temple with purpose. So, Father, we pray that you would use us as we are, change us as we need to be, and allow us to be a holy building that we may truly be the temple of God, that from this place we can reach out and bring others to the place of knowing you, to worship you, to love you, that they too may offer up spiritual sacrifices in their lives. May ours be the understanding that we have not arrived, but that there is many more miles to walk and many more to be brought into this temple, that it may be the fullness of your glory. In Jesus Christ, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.